Blog Talk Radio.
Bill Green, your host for the next hour or so. Tonight's show is the first of a series on healing with sound and color, the almost lost art of meditation. But before we engage in tonight's show, or before I take the deep breath before the plunge, as I like to say, I first want to introduce you to my EP, Will Green. What's up, Wilfredo?
Hey, hey, bienvenido. Here he is. Okay, yeah. Welcome, namaste, namaste, namaste. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, glad to be doing this again with you. Even though this is a somewhat of a different format, still, you know, we're the same.
The boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town, man, and maybe that's the next soundtrack we ought to use. No, I'm kidding. So how you doing, man?
What you think? Well, you know. I can't say it's too early to tell, and well beyond fairly middling. So, I mean, you know, doing all right, you know.
All right, my man, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, right on. This is, as I said earlier, the first of a series of shows. I can't tell anyone how long this series is going to run. It's going to be contingent on, of course, well, maybe not contingent on response. That's never stopped us before, right, Will?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of not even energy, just information. And there's a lot of information, no question about it. Of course, we depend on some degree of feedback from listeners on if the information is cutting it or not. So hopefully you will find tonight to be relatively interesting and at least somewhat new and maybe validating. Hopefully, beyond the scope of either of those, it'll be motivating. Breath work, you know, is a form of meditation that uses a combination of evocative music and physical breathing to achieve, well, for lack of a better way to put it, a state of altered states consciousness. And I know that might sound kind of woo-woo, but just hang with me, you know. It's a reality of life. You know, altered states consciousness is nothing no one has never heard before. The breath oxygenates the blood flow to the brain. That's how it works. That's what creates this altered state. The breath, I guess you could even say, energizes the blood. And the value of that, of course, which a lot of people don't consider or think about, you know, how well we move our blood has a lot to do with how well we detox our bodies. You know, our blood usually starts its journey out from the heart real red and rich and full of all the necessary nutrients to clean us out. And by the time it completes the journey through the body, it returns to the heart kind of blue and sludge-like after having gathered all of the impurities from the body and then goes through the process of purification all over again. So although no one can really say how this altered state consciousness is really done, how it's really created, you know, I can tell you about the blood and the breath and all that. But, you know, it's not like all we know is it's not a proven science as such, although that's kind of a contradiction of terms. Science is about before it validates the theory, not proving. And it's because it works different for different people. You know, there's really no way of explaining how it works. Like me, I've been doing this a long time. So you lay me down, you turn on some music, you tell me connect with my breath, and I'm gone. You know, I'm shaking all over the place. Some people, you know, especially athletes, you know, who are more or less conditioned for deeper breathing for the extended period of time may have to pump the breath out a little bit more, sometimes even a little bit more rapidly on a continuous basis before they achieve that kind of surprise effect. So, but generally speaking, the idea of this altered state is achieved through the combination of music and breathing and a continuous breath, you know, a cyclic type of breathing, an uninterrupted, full, deep breathing, not Lamaze or, you know, hyperventilating. But you can kind of think of it as like maybe 5 or 6 deep breaths in and then exhaling at the same pace of 5 or 6 seconds, you know, 5 or 6 seconds in, deep breaths, 5 or 6 seconds out. But we'll talk more about that in future shows. So that's a thumbnail of breathwork itself. Now, breathwork has 3 layers to it. It's the breathwork itself that I just explained. Then it's the artwork at the conclusion of the breathwork session itself. Now, a lot of people are art phobic, and when they hear artwork, they think, nope, that's it, I'm out. So don't think of it as having to be, you know, an artist. It's really an engaging of colors. The colors that people use to display some symbols that come up from the breathwork experience is really the key. The symbol is really found in the colors, not in the image that the colors take, although that can also be very key to interpretation. But the colors is to me, in my estimation, the real reflection of what I call snapshots from the soul. You know, our souls speak to us in symbols, not in common language. And the symbols are best interpreted through the colors. Now, a lot of different models have a lot of different schemes of a lot of different colors that express a lot of different things. You know, in this model, which is the one I'm certified in, I would speak primarily from how I learned it, how I've taught it, and how I've come to interpret it in my own artwork, you know, that the colors are reflective of what I'll refer to as 7 key energy fields and often called chakras. Now, I've talked about altered states, consciousness, and chakras. I hope you're still with us out there. How we doing so far, Will?
It sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. So, and at the conclusion, and the conclusion of a breathwork session can be, I've done them for different places for as short of a period of time as 30 minutes and for as long as 2 hours. I've experienced it as a participant for as long as 3 hours. As a breather, 3 hours is okay with me, but when you're sitting, that's people pair up in one form of this work, and a sitter breather, and then you change positions in the second session. And 3 hours of sitting for an old guy like me is kind of a stretch, you know. So there's variations of it and offered in very different ways, and usually reflective of the facilitator and the skills and the talents that the facilitator brings. So at conclusion of breath work, you do artwork. At the conclusion of artwork, there's a group process. Now, group process, again, gives everyone a chance to what I like to think of is honor the work you've done. You know, your group time is spent really sharing your experience and, you know, your color format, your mandalas. Uh-oh, now so I've talked about altered states consciousness, you know, chakras and mandalas, you know, but it all comes together, yeah. Trust me on that. And the combination of the three really symbolically gives a person kind of through that snapshot something very similar to taking a picture if you're on a vacation. You know, you take the picture, you come home, you review your pictures, and you remember a lot more than what the picture shows. You know, you look at the picture and right away, yeah, you see what's there, but you can see on the outside beyond the borders of the actual frame of the picture, you know, all the other things that the picture didn't capture. And that's really the essence of doing a mandala. It symbolically reminds you of the experience you just had. And I always encourage folks to date their mandala. So you have a reference of it, of when you did the experience. And why is that important? Because mandalas, you know, speak to you in meditation long after the experience. But we'll talk about mandalas in a future show as well. Really, tonight, I just kind of want to give you an intro to the whole picture of healing with sound and color and the almost lost art of meditation as it applies to this particular dynamic. So breath work is one form or type or model of meditation that opens the doorway to the experiences I just explained. Or what do you say, Will? Or it, at the very least, provides a portal to the soul. Now, some may say it's more like a rabbit or black hole. I don't really know of any model of inner healing that doesn't do any one of all three of these. That is a doorway, a portal, or a rabbit hole or a black hole. You know, the truth is healing hurts. You know, now we tend to blame it on pain. And I want to borrow a line from the old movie G.I. Jane, where my man said, pain is your friend. It lets us know we are still alive. You know, and that's what I think sometimes gets lost in translation. But, you know, the brain itself doesn't have the capacity to store the actual event of pain. That's all found in the memory, and the memory comes from the healing. And that's usually where we talk about the pain as we're going through the healing and the memory, but we don't actually – we cannot recall the actual pain. Yeah, we remember that it hurts, but we can't do anything to sum up that hurt itself. You agree with that, Will? Keep putting them on the spot. Yeah.
Yeah, you are. That's okay.
I'll ease up on you as I ease up on myself, man. You know, now, so and this is a good time to answer the unasked question. Well, who benefits from it? Well, let's just go down the list. I think, first of all, you know, spiritual seekers, you know, those who are, you know, who identify themselves in some parts, you know, as spiritual beings going through a human experience, you know, and that human experience, as we all, as I think it's safe for me to say, we all know, you know, can be very traumatic. It can be very, you know, disengaging. It can be very confusing, and it can be very rewarding. You know, but spiritual seekers can benefit. Those who may be dealing with depression brought on by a sense of loss of life's purpose. You know, those who feel stuck. I don't think I need to go into too much detail what the feelings of stuckness is. I think, you know, we all have our own way of defining, but I think we all have experienced feeling stuck at one time or another. Those in some form of recovery from any one of several forms of addictive behavior, you know, and recovery from, let's say, alcoholism is where I was first introduced to the model. Get into that a little bit later on as well. Breath work can offer stress relief. It can help folks engage the dynamics of trauma. I'm not a trauma specialist, so I won't go into the details of trauma as therapy. Hopefully we'll get somebody on a future show who can speak more in detail about, you know, trauma approaches toward health and well-being. Believe it or not, breath work can increase energy. You know, it's definitely something that music lovers love. You know, the music of breath work is, to me, because it's contentless, meaning, you know, there's no real dynamics of verbiage used. It's contentless, meaning it's designed to activate energy fields in the body, and it's done without English words. And so you don't really get the content of a composer of songs and then get into the interpretation of what was meant by the words said in that particular song. You know, like rap would be one thing that would come to my mind. I would spend all my time, if I was trying to breathe to rap music, trying to figure out what that bro just say. So, yeah, that's the best way I can explain that. And I have a note down here that says it's for codependence. Now, I'm not sure why I wrote that, but I'm just going to leave it out there like that. It can really be beneficial to those who are experiencing the sense of codependence. I'm not a good person to speak in high acclaim of codependency, because I'm one who believes before a person was called, or before it was called codependence, it was called love. But I know codependence is a buzzword that suggests love going awry, so to say. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I'm sure those of you out here in the listening audience could give a much better perspective of what codependence means, you know, to the tried and the true. So that's pretty much just a thumbnail orientation of the concept of healing with sound in regards to breathwork and how breathwork applies itself to the model. Now, of course, I'm not going to leave it there. There'll be, you know, an explanation of the music, how the body tracks the music and how the music tracks the body and what the purpose of that is. Will, anything you can think of or any questions you may have or anything you want to throw out there right now?
Yeah, just kind of going backwards. So no idea why the codependent note was there?
No. But, right, I mean, I could spend time speculating on that. You know, I mean, it would take, first of all, a person would have to have an understanding of what codependency is. And then how that, I think what I'm saying, and it's for codependence, meaning that it's a good time for, like, say, couples who may come to the work, couples in whatever form you want to, you know, take it, those who would be, you know, who show up at a breathwork session with their significant other. You know, it may help if that's a particular issue of giving oneself away to the other person. Breathwork, especially if it's done with a couple separate themselves and breathe with other people, may be able to get a deeper perspective of, you know, unrelenting and unresolved issues that can show up in so many different ways. You know, one way is possessiveness, jealousy, you know, a sense of control, you know, that not just control, but domineering kind of control, or, you know, the opposite end of it being a little bit too, what's the word I'm looking for, where you just let the other person walk all over you. Passive, but I was looking for another word. So I don't know if that helps any, you know, as far as just giving an overview of codependent behavior. But there's a good book that I would suggest. It's always a book, you know, Awakening in Time, The Journey from Codependence to Co-Creation, written by a very dear friend of mine, Jacqueline Small, that really takes the dynamics of co-creation and codependence into a plural kind of sense, where the polarity is somewhat fused by the parallel understanding that really both dynamics operate in the individual, where we can go from codependence to co-creation within even a relationship with others, but more importantly, a relationship with self, you know, which I think really is the whole crux of the work. You know, the first focus is self, which not too unusually recognized. A lot of times people have difficult time focusing solely and primarily on themselves. You know, usually there's the outside distractions, you know, that tend to get in the way. The themes of distraction even that get in the way. A lot of times Maybe not so much now. Well, kind of from a memory standpoint, but not from an active issue. You know, I'm not involved with anyone romantically right now. So the memory of past relationships can sometimes haunt my breathwork experience. But it's not unusual for people in active relationships to bring the issues of the relationship to the breathwork and make the issues of the relationship, you know, the energy that drives the experience as opposed to the individual's own reaction to these issues as ownership, like where am I in all this, you know. So sometimes, yeah, that can happen where a person gets lost in the business that is brought to the breathwork, which I'll also address as we get into the preparation of breathwork itself and what the preparation is for. It's really designed to address that very issue. More on that in a minute. And hopefully that minute will come. You know me, right? Why use 100 words when 1,000 words will do?
1,000 will do.
Yeah. So it's not past the scope of my own, you know, dialogue to go well beyond, you know, the time limits allowed and not have covered, you know, all the things I hope to cover. But I promised a dear friend of mine, you know, that no matter what, we're ending at 7 o'clock, you know, and I can't blame going past that on you, Wilfredo. I can't blame it, you know, on any dialogue that happens, that may happen with people calling in or whatever. I have to own absolutely 100%, you know, the responsibility and the willingness to really stick to what the discipline requires, you know. So start at 6, end at 7. You know, we do a real good job of starting on time, right? But we've never been, well, sometimes we have technical problems that create their own, you know, challenges. You know what? And that reminds me, just from a technical perspective, do you want to just take a couple minutes explaining to folks about some of the things about our podcast or our radio show on Blog Talk Radio, the Greenhouse Effect, and the chat room?
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
Yeah.
So unlike other podcasts or things that you all may listen to, we still utilize a particular media here called Blog Talk Radio. And utilizing Blog Talk Radio allows us to interact with you all, the listeners, and vice versa, of course. So there's a few different ways that we still utilize Blog Talk Radio so we can all interact with one another. So one way is that you can dial in directly. I do see we already have some listeners who are on their phone listening. But in case you're online listening and you like to call in or something like that or listen better on your phone or whatever your device you're using, we always suggest, first of all, before we even get into that, the first thing we always want to let you guys know is to maybe grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, I don't know, a post-it note, a marker, whatever you got. That likes napkins and envelopes, I don't know, whatever you got. Sometimes it's good to have something to write with in case you might pick up something. You know, maybe you want to write down some notes. Maybe something Dad mentioned or, you know, in our discussion, you'd be like, oh, man, yeah, that may apply to me, you know. Or let me research this. He might be full of crap. I don't know. But get a pen and pad, you know. And I mean that in a good way because we want you all to, you know, to look that stuff up and to research, you know, develop your own studies. Mm-hmm. So grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper. So you can call in. Our number here is 516-453-6094. That's 516-453-6094. So if you do want to chime in, hopefully you can get in between one of those 1,000 words. If you press 1 on your keypad, you press 1 on your keypad, your number will show up in our queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. Another way that you can communicate with us is through the website on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseFX. That's the letter FX. You would have to set up a free account. You do have to utilize your credit card, put that in, but you won't be charged. You just select a free account. You won't be charged for it. But with an active account, you can engage with us in the chat room, which is usually at the bottom of the page. Then, of course, I didn't pull it up yet. We do sometimes utilize Facebook on the event page. And sometimes a lot of people are used to using Facebook. So if you're listening on your device and you want to ask some questions or engage with us, if you received an invitation from us on the invite page, on the event page, you can also post questions and things like that on the Facebook page as well.
I think that's
about it. You know, so there's multiple ways to contact us, and you know, this is kind of dad's show here, and I just want to make sure everything's running. So that actually gives me a little bit more opportunity to engage with you all. If you all send a text, or if you send a Facebook or chat or whatever, you know, I have other ways to, you know, double check that as well. So, you know, we encourage you all to, you know, to reach out to us, you know, and let us know, you know, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, what questions you got, you know, whatever, you know, but we do encourage you all to talk with us. So we've got multiple ways to do it.
Right on. My man.
There you go.
Polished, man, I'm telling you, polished. Perfect. Thank you, man. So anyway, moving on, a little bit more about breath work. Breath work can provide, you know, a sense of centering, you know, it can help one focus, you know, it's kind of trippy, you know, to focus internally as opposed to externally. You know, most of us think of focus as something we do as an active event. You know, but to focus internally really means to, you know, cue into the senses, you know, to the senses of the body, what the body is really experiencing, and trying not to let it be dissuaded by thoughts. You know, we have our thoughts, but we are not our thoughts. But our thoughts tend to want to dominate our reactions and our behavior. So focusing internally is intended to kind of screen that out as much as possible. You know, as I said before, it can provide a sense of relief or relaxation, just being able to just let the outside world go for a couple hours. Man, I don't know if any of you have ever tried this, but I want to really encourage you to consider trying it one day. You know, if you're like watching TV, listening to the radio, listening to music, you know, while you're like driving or whatever, you know, but especially like if you're watching some kind of show that has commercials, when the commercials come on, just try turning off, you know, or muting rather, the sound, just to see what it feels like to take a break from, you know, from noise. It's an amazing thing, just for a couple minutes, just to detach from noise, you know, the welcome noise, not the distract. Like, I hear a dog barking in the background. That's kind of a distractive noise. You know, I can't really do anything about that short of, you know, kicking the dog. But, you know, just taking that time just to feel what it means to disengage from noise is quite an experience. You know, so therefore it can also offer a sense of calming. Now, calming, C-A-L-M-I-N-G, is kind of oxymoronish, because in a breathwork session it can get noisy, you know, and the music itself is played really loud. So one would think, well, with all the chaos going around me and the noise blaring, how in the hell can I calm down? It's the amazing part of being in an altered sense of consciousness. You know, there is a sense of, you know, of the world, but you're not a part of that world. It's really an amazing thing, you know, to experience. And some of you, you know, who are, you know, practiced meditators know what I'm talking about. And last, but of course not least, it can provide insights, you know, insights into the comings and goings of one's own desires, struggles, conflicts, confusions, sometimes even, you know, not so much a type of agenda setting, or not even trying to deal with any kind of expectations. But I would encourage folks to come with intentions, meaning I'm really intending on using this time to connect with my creator, who I call God, you know, and to allow myself to surrender to what you know, God is trying to tell me in relation to the issues that I carry around. That's just one example. There's you know, all kinds of examples based on whatever it is that the individual is pursuing to find a sense of, you know, inner calm or a deepened understanding or insight about the ways of life. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I've been around and I've been, well, not just around it, I've been dealing with breath work, you know, as its own model since 1983. You know, and it took me about almost 13 years to become certified in this work. In fact, April 26, 1996 is when I became certified. And I, you know, I hadn't thought about that. But here's my point. I hadn't thought about any of this for years. But I hadn't thought about it for years because I've kind of put myself in a self-imposed exile around the work. And why? Well, because I started doubting my own skills. Somebody, I'm not going to just say somebody. I'm going to tell you who that somebody is. Her name is Billy Billups, a very dear friend of mine. I was talking with her today about a model that, actually it's two models that she's proficient in, and there's more than that, but the two that I'm most familiar with are, you know, quantum energy wellness solutions is one, and zero balancing is another. And it's more of a technological approach, you know, in the use of sound and color. But regardless of the technological aspects of it. It's funny how I could do that to myself. She's very skilled, you know, at the broader sense of inner healing and inner work. So it's just that she uses technology, you know, to help with the dynamics of the model, but by no means is, you know, artificial intelligence taking over. You know, she's very skilled at inner healing. But in talking with her today, I was saying that I'm hoping that this show and future shows will be a precursor or an invitation to others to engage in the breathwork dynamic, which I'm intending on offering in the area, in the Dallas area, starting next month, breathwork, that is, not just the shows, but the actual events. And she said, yeah, I hear you. It's like what somebody told me. For years, you've been a secret agent in the work. And I thought, that's exactly it. And I'm tired of being a secret agent in the work. You know, I'm skilled at this. I've been doing it since 83 and certified in it since 96. And, you know, at one point, at the high point of my engagement in this work, I was, you know, very proficient. I'm still good, but I mean, I was actively good in it. And then, you know, things happen as things do. And I got disillusioned, you know, as people can get disillusioned, you know, along the path of one's own purpose. I'm assuming, you know, Will, you and other people listening know what I mean by becoming disillusioned, not externally, you know, not disillusioned in forms of betrayal, you know, or disappointment in others, but as far as one's own purpose is concerned, just not feeling like I'm doing a very good job in being who I've been sent here to be. You know, you kind of feel what I'm saying there, Will? Uh-oh, I might have lost him. But, you know, hopefully the rest of you kind of have a sense of what I mean by that. You know, just that, you know, like sometimes a job for the sake of payment can do that, where a person's showing up but not really showing up. You know, going through the motions of job orientation and doing what the interview required and getting paid and maybe getting paid a nice piece of change, but not feeling fulfilled, you know, and that disillusionment of self can set in, and it has happened to me, you know, especially in regards to disallowing myself to show up, you know, in the way, in the form that I was created to show up. And this work has made it clear to me that this is my path and this is what I should be doing. So I'm returning to it. And this is just as much a signal, an indicator, an intention, you know, of no longer being the secret agent of the work, but being an active agent, you know, in what I really believe it's about. Now, breath work is pliable, meaning it blends well with just about anything we do in life. You know, as once expressed by a past colleague of mine, you know, we do life, however we do life, I'm sorry, is how we do breath work. You know, however we do life, it's no trickery, it's no, got to have some extra skills. However, right now, however you perceive you do life, that's exactly what you're going to bring with you when you lay down to engage breath work. So it's no trickery, you know, no, oh, you're doing it wrong, you know, breathing. The only time breathing can be done wrong, which I don't know if wrong is even the right word to use, but the closest I can say that the only way breathing can be done wrong is, you know, if we stop.
And intentionally stop breathing.
Then that's bad. Anyway, you know, so anyway. So, you know, now, when I say however we do life is how we do breath work, well, what do I mean? Well, okay, let's take a look at that. You know, it can be chaotic. It can be cathartic. It can be unnerving. You know, or it can be downright scary at times, you know. And all that sounds like life to me. I don't know. Now, what I mean by cathartic, you know, catharsis is the release of strong emotions, you know, through a particular activity or experience. So it can be positive or negative, depending on what the person seeks. You know, a lot of people, you know, through dance, you know, a lot of people through running, you know, have some very profound experiences. You know, I don't want to get into the second chakra energy, but that's definitely another one that I explain, that you understand when I get into, you know, the chakra system itself, which will probably be in a future show. So, you know, the question is, as, you know, always, you know, when it comes to doing life, how well do you manage fear or doubt, you know, or confrontation or shame or inadequacy, you know, or joy, you know, or excitement or bliss or self-satisfaction or completion, you know. These are the themes of life, you know, like I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not done with a thing and don't even recognize when it's done with me, you know. So the question is, you know, are you done being done when you're done? Now, an old wise woman from the early days of my interning in breath work said to me once, honey, it ain't done till it's done. Now, why did she say that to me? Well, I was frustrated, you know, as I was interning. And when you're interning in the breathwork model that I was certified under, you're also expected to breathe. You know, you're also expected to go through the process of what participants go through. You are, as in fact, you know, an active participant in interning. You breathe and you sit and you share, you know. And so early on in my experiences with breathwork, I would shake a lot at the beginning. You know, my body would just, I mean, shake. Shake your boot. Yeah, I just, you know, just shake. And I found it to be distracting because me being me, I figured this ain't what's supposed to be happening. I'm doing something wrong. So I thought I'm going to outsmart myself. So when I knew I was getting ready to breathe, I took it upon myself to jog up and down a hill a few times. Yeah, that's how long ago it was. You know, I ran up and down this hill a few times thinking, you know, that would, you know, expel all the excess energy or whatever it was I was going through. And full of sweat and everything, went and laid down. And as soon as the music came on, just like, you know, nothing happened. I just started shaking like I always, you know, had done. And I took it into the group that, you know, my that the wise woman mentor happened to be leading that particular group. And I shared this whole thing that I just talked to you about. And that's when she said to me, honey, it ain't done till it's done. So thing is, what, 40 years later, I just did a breath work as a participant a couple weeks ago. I was in Austin, Texas. It was a four-day event led by two, you know, very, very wise women. Brenda Lee and Jen. I wish I remembered their last names, but I got it written down anyway. They're very powerful co-leaders. And I had two sessions of breathing and two sessions of sitting you know, and both times when I laid down to breathe, you know, right away, music barely started. But I've learned how to embrace that now. I accept it as a part of my experience in breathwork. That's where my non-ordinary state of consciousness takes me. I just, the vibration and the frequency just do their dance with me, and it just comes out for about the first, I don't know, I don't even know how long. Sometimes it feels like it lasts for the entire 2 hours. I just shake, you know. I shake, then after a while it eases up, then some music hits a strain, and there I am shaking again. But one, I think it was Jen, as a facilitator and speaking on the themes of breathwork, said something, I'm paraphrasing, and I think she said something in essence that some of you experience some types of shaking, and all the body is doing is making room for the energy. Man, I liked it when I heard that. I thought, I must be doing something right after all. Oh, my God, can I stand it? After all these years, right? So anyway, you know, that being what it is, obviously it's something that works for me. So I was first introduced to breathwork in 1983. Well, I was introduced to the facilitator of breathwork, actually, and I mentioned her name earlier, Jacqueline Small. Have you ever met someone? Well, I'm going to ask you this question, and you're going to speak for the listeners because I think I got you out there now. Yeah. Have you ever met someone for the first time and immediately felt you knew, I mean, really knew that person?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not just, you know, like you're familiar, but like really, you know, like there's a soul connection or something. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're getting kind of deep with it, so now I'm not sure. You know,
oh, Lord, there's another word, soul connection, right? What's that?
You know, there's been times of familiarity around people.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's a nice safe word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a safe word, but you're talking about soul connections, you know?
You know, where you just really feel like, I mean, this only happened to me once that I know of, and that was with her, Jacqueline Small. And, you know, I don't know if it's a common thing or not. I just know when I first met her, I just felt like I knew her. As a matter of fact, I remember saying to her, do I know you? Have I met you when I was in one of my blackouts? Yeah, I'm a recovered alcoholic, y'all. So blackouts is, you know, a sign of lost control of drinking. So she laughed and I laughed, you know, and we moved on to the next topic. But it was just something that was an immediate bond, so to say. And it wasn't like a love connection. It wasn't a sexual thrill. It was, you know, beyond the scope of that. That's why I call it a soul connection. It was beyond reward. The reward was in the meeting itself. You know, it was like a reconnecting with an old dear friend, you know. But I also at the same time found it to be a little unnerving. You know, how could I have this experience? Where is this coming from? This is impossible. How can this be? Kind of reaction. But that's me. You know, I couldn't just own it and appreciate it and feel blessed to have had it. You know, it had to be something I was doing wrong. What a mess, right? Well, now you also know why I breathe. But that's how it began, as I believe it does for those who continue in some form or another to use breathwork. I think of it as breathwork, you know, kind of as a four-stage event. You know, the first is the introduction. And, of course, I just described that introduction. You know, it came, you know, from being introduced to Jacqueline Small. You know, now breathwork is personal. I understand that. So the question is, do I want this? You know, because I don't know if I want it or not, you know, when I'm introduced to it. So then comes the, you know, invitation. Now, so the introduction came twofold. You know, the idea of breathwork came with being introduced to Jacqueline Small. So in being introduced to Jacqueline Small, my mentor, who in fact was in charge of this workshop where I met Jacqueline Small, was the person who brought her in to speak. So my mentor introduced me to her, and through this relationship with my mentor, for the first 3 years, she had been a person who was very much involved in my recovery. So I think in some ways she was ready to pass the buck. It's like, after 3 years of hearing me complain about it, is there anything else? Is this it? You know, just be grateful, you know, just don't drink, you know. What else is there? So, you know, she said, well, Jacqueline Small is going to be doing a workshop, 5-day event. And so that's where the invitation came from. I'm not going to get all into that. Just keep that for future reference when I move on, you know, to more deeper explanations of the work. I'm looking at the clock now, so I kind of want to speed up and get through all of this. So with the invitation through the breathwork experience for those 5 days in Woodstock, Illinois, you know, came the initiation. In other words, it took for me. I realized that it was something that was returning to me what I thought I had lost. And most importantly, my emotional self. I had not cried at all for the first 3 years of my recovery. This breathwork thing broke. I mean, I literally heard my heart, I mean, my chest crack open. Obviously, I can't say literally because it didn't, but it sure sounded like it. And when my chest cracked open, I felt it was like a sense of my heart being exposed. And tears that I can't even tell you where they came from just came pouring out of me. You know, it was like the tears of my addicted past, you know, everything. It just came gushing out. People were trying to offer me, you know, Kleenex to mop up, but it's like, no, just let it gush. I mean, I was blowing snot bubbles. I didn't care. Man, it was just, man, I can't tell you. That was so doggone healing, definitely cleansing. But I knew right away, you know, in my 3 years of recovery, I'd found something I wanted to introduce to recovery. You know, this thing called breathwork, this musical journey, you know, and I became an advocate of it at that point, you know, in 1983. And it took almost 14 years, definitely took 13 years to become certified. I didn't have the means financially to be able to just get the model done in 4 or 5 years. But I sure stuck with it, you know, and even hearing myself say that is so unusual that I stuck with it. And on April 28th, 1996, I became, you know, a certified practitioner of psycho-spiritual integration and integrative breathwork, you know, something that to this day I'm very proud of, but still for too many years I've been a secret agent about. So that's where, you know, the initiation came from, but there's still a fourth level. So we deal with the introduction, invitation, initiation, and then comes the fourth, which psycho-spiritual integration and integrative breathwork was somewhat symbolic of having moved into that fourth stage, which is integration, you know. And I've learned from that point of 1996 that the integrative process is continuous. It's not something you enter and then you achieve. It's ongoing. It's life ongoing, you know, in a way that all of the aspects of self become integrated, you know, to create, you know, a more enlightened awareness. Now, enlightenment isn't an event and then that's it. You know, again, it's a process. There's constant shifts of enlightenment. You know, enlightenment comes from all forms, all bodies, you know, and all events, you know, it's a constant, something that I've continued to apply myself to, not as much as a practitioner or facilitator, but as just as much as a participant. And that's, you know, very much how it has worked for me, you know, since 1983. You know, it in many ways has paralleled my time in recovery, you know, next month, I think in June, yeah, I'll enter, I think, my 42nd year of uninterrupted sobriety, you know, which I'm as proud of as pride will allow me to be. But, of course, there's always a caution about pride in recovery. You know, you don't want to get too full of yourself. So, you know, just allow me that moment to just say that, you know, and I'll back off right away. You know, I'm Catholic, so I don't want to feel too good about myself. That's like, you know, that's like a sin. All right, I'm joking. I'm teasing. No, not. Yeah, I am. Okay, I think my shadow's starting to take over now. So that, you know, kind of hopefully gives a little background of understanding about the integrative aspect of breath work and how it can be applied, how it can be utilized, and how it, you know, and how it comes with its own cautions as well. Now, in the last few minutes, you know, I just want to kind of give you an idea of how this whole thing comes together. And like I said, future shows will break it up into parts where we spend all the time on certain parts of breath work and all of what comes with it. The first part is the preparation, you know, and the idea of breath work is that it's done in what we call sacred space. You know, so it's very important that the space that's used is the type of atmosphere that allows a person to feel safe. You know, and as we know, and just, you know, just the comings and goings of the world, at least this part of the world, you know, safety is a commodity, you know, that I think many of us would like to know we can find, you know, at a given time. So the first thing is safe space, you know, which is used for the breathwork experience, and how that's set up, I will get more into detail later. The breathwork orientation, you know, breathwork, as I said, is a form of meditation that's set to music. And before starting the breathwork experience, you know, it's important that participants are first taken through a relaxation exercise. So that's about 3 to 5 minutes. And the purpose of the relaxation exercise is to help settle the emotions down. I don't care how long I've been doing this. When I arrive to that place of surrender, laying down, getting ready to engage the music, the breath, blah, 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 there's always a moment of again, I'll use the term, the deep breath before the plunge. Do I really want to do this? You know, and that hesitation is what the relaxation is meant to address. So the purpose is to help, you know, settle down the emotions and to help one like myself become aware of my thoughts and my feelings, and to help me, you know, enter into that experience with as much openness as possible. In other words, engaging surrender, the letting go, man, the letting go. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes letting go for me is like a flypaper effect. You know, I'll be shaking, thinking I dropped it, and maybe 9 out of 10 times I have. But that 10th one, it ain't letting go for nothing. So it gives me a chance to really engage that and understand that's where I am. And then the music after the relaxation comes on. Now, it's played at a very high volume, higher than you would listen to in an ordinary circumstance. I know you might be, you know, somebody may be hitting a blunt, driving in a compact car with that crack speaker and the bass going, you know, doom, 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 all through the neighborhood. Well, in some ways, that's what it's like when you lay down the music and breath work. It can feel like that. And don't let the sound system not be, you know, top-notch, because sometimes the bass can cause the speakers to sound like somebody driving through the hood. So, you know, that's what the whole preparation is about. And the amazing thing is that as loud as the music is, it's designed to be a distractor. You know, its whole purpose is to take you away from any other thoughts that get in the way of having the experience. So you tune into the breath, and the more you engage the breath, the less you notice the music. And if the music has really done its job, after a while you don't even notice it. It becomes like your own soundtrack to your own experience. That's how I've experienced it, and that's how I think you've also experienced that way, haven't you, Will? I'll answer for him. Yeah, Dad, I have. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And,
yeah, I have. Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, and you know that the musical journey has come to an end because, you know, there's English words that are played. We call it, you know, end song, or some people call it coming out music. And it played in English, you know, usually spiritual music, almost always spiritual music. As a matter of fact, I think our closing song tonight will be an example of the type of music that is sometimes played as we're coming out of the breathwork experience. And that signals that the musical part of the journey has come to an end. But we're not done yet, because now comes the artwork, you know, or engaging in the colors, you know, and that's where, you know, you gather all your senses back together, count all your fingers and toes, make sure everything has returned. But there's still that little kind of, you know, lissy feeling of still being altered, and that's a great way to enter into the art room, you know. And in the art room is where you engage a sheet of paper called a mandala, which I'll talk about next week. And in the engaging of the mandala, you put the experience in color form on paper. Now, sometimes it may appear as an image, you know, a body, some aspects of nature, the sky, the universe. But the key is the colors as opposed to the image. That's the difference. But I think so many times it's not taught that way, and people tend to be somewhat, you know, intimidated by the idea of, oh, I can't draw. But anybody can engage colors and just put it on paper and let the image take care of itself. So sorry to rush. And then, of course, the group process afterwards. And the group process is done within whatever the content of time allows. And some people engage it wholeheartedly, and others don't want to share anything. And it's, either way, it's totally acceptable. Some people, in fact, even come into a group session with a blank sheet of paper and feel like, you know, they failed, you know, because they didn't put anything on paper. And I said, no, you drew a blank, you know, and drawing a blank leaves room for everything, you know, to yet be explored. It's not like it ended. It's just starting. You know, so I encourage folks who have a blank sheet of paper to date that sucker. Take it home. Have your own little coloring utensils available. And you never know when the self will engage the self. And let that show up on that paper. Very powerful. Very powerful indeed. So we're right here at the last couple minutes. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Will, as always, man, you know, my EP, my dude, thank you so much for helping me, well, not helping me, for setting it up, for putting up with my panic. I don't know how you do it, man. But bless your heart. I'm so glad I got you in my life. I wouldn't have done tonight's show without you, man. Anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
Just, I guess in your wrap-up, you're going to talk about what the plans are for next shows or what have you?
No. Matter of fact, I think I said earlier that next week we'll talk about mandalas. And then,
so that's,
you know,
what
just,
I mean. Just,
yeah.
I mean, just as far as, you know, having, you know, continuing this particular series next week, next Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, for those of you who thought it was just a one-time event, no, this is an ongoing series. I think I said that at the beginning of the show, but it deserves to be repeated. This is the first of a series of shows. So next week we'll be talking about mandalas. Just check out Facebook or wherever you first saw, you know, tonight's advertisement. That's where you see what next week's content will be. So thanks again, man. Thank you all for listening. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Amen.
All right.
Can you hear the prayer of the children abandoning in the shadow of an unknown room? Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning toward the light. Cry, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul today. Can you feel the hearts of the children aching for home, for something of their very own? Reaching hands with nothing to hold on to, but hope for a better day, a better day. Crying, Jesus, help me but if unknown roads lead away from home, give me loving arms away from home. Ooh. the voice of the children softly pleading for silence in the shattered world. Angry guns preach a gospel full of hate, blood of the innocent on their hands. Crying, Jesus, help me to feel the sun again upon my face. For when darkness clears, I know you're near, bringing peace again. Dolly Chuyate, Svediece Molitve, can you hear the prayer?